Part 4. Bother It's Gone. Chapter 25. Bother It's Gone. Jack jerked awake. Something soft was prodding him, and after a moment, he realised it was the Christmas pig's trotter again. The cart was still moving. A ray of bright light was falling through the dent in Lunchy's lid. Inhaler was still fast asleep, making little wheezy noises.
Time to get out,
the Christmas pig whispered in Jack's ear.
Penknife's just said we're nearly at Bother It's Gone. We'll slip out of Lunchy, then jump off the back of the cart.
What if we're spotted?
Well, then we'll just have to run as fast as we can. Ready?
All right,
whispered Jack, suddenly very scared.
Lunchy,
said the Christmas pig, prodding her side.
Are you awake?
Yes,
she whispered back.
Let us out, please, and don't forget, if you tell anyone you saw us, we'll tell them you helped us.
Lunchy's lid clicked open. Clutching his belly to stop the sound of his beans giving them away, the Christmas pig climbed out of the lunchbox into the bright sunshine, and Jack followed, leaving Inhaler snoozing behind them. Luckily, the wooden cart was last in the line of vehicles, and as Penknife, who was driving, had his back to them, nobody saw Jack and the Christmas pig emerge from out of the tin.
I know you didn't want to help, but thanks all the same, Lunchy,
the Christmas pig whispered, and he patted her gently on the lid.
You were very rude,
the lunchbox whispered back.
But I hope the loser doesn't get you. Good luck.
Slowly and carefully, Jack and the Christmas pig climbed over the back of the wooden cart, let themselves fall into the soft snow, then darted out of sight behind a clump of fir trees beside the trail. Looking around, Jack saw that the cart had taken them to the top of a mountain, from which they could look down on the wide stretches of the Wastes of the Unlamented. Disposable was no longer visible, nor could Jack see anything moving on the wastes. He supposed the loser had eaten all the latest arrivals, unless the poor things were hiding in clumps of thistles. Turning to watch the three carriages, he saw them disappear into the town, which was perched on the very top of the mountain. A glossy painted sign near Jack and the Christmas pig's hiding place gleamed in the sunlight. On it were written the words, "Welcome to Bother It's Gone."
We'll wait till they're out of sight,
said the Christmas pig.
Then sneak into town and try and find a toy who might know DP.
Once the carriages had disappeared, they hurried up the trail and into Bother It's Gone. The new town was nothing like Disposable. Everything was clean and well tended. The snow-covered houses were all as snug, neat and pretty as if they were made of gingerbread, their front doors painted in different colours. The roads had been swept clear and multicoloured Christmas lights were gleaming in more fir trees. In spite of being cold and shivery in his pyjamas, Jack felt his spirits rise. He could just imagine DP living in one of these little houses. It definitely seemed like a place where things that were loved would be sent.
Let's try this way,
said the Christmas pig, pointing up a side street. It really was the prettiest little town Jack had ever seen. Through the snowy windows of the houses, he glimpsed roaring fires and cuckoo clocks, thick rugs and comfy armchairs. The things they passed, a school tie and some exercise books, a fountain pen and an old button, looked far more cheerful than those back in Disposable. Jack was sure these things must be valued up there in the land of the living to have been sent to live in such a nice, cosy place. Yet he couldn't see any toys. Finally, he spotted a black chess piece who was standing talking to a large, old-fashioned address book whose cover was decorated with roses.
Let's ask the chess piece if he's seen DP,
Jack said to the Christmas pig.
Said
the Christmas pig.
I'm not sure. A chess piece isn't really a toy.
He's the closest thing we've seen,
said Jack.
Well, all right,
said the Christmas pig.
But don't
mention having a cartoon. I know,
said Jack. So they drew into a doorway to wait for the chess piece and the address book's conversation to end.
In 5 minutes' time, Mr. Knight, all right,
the address book was saying in a voice that rang all the way down the street.
Naughty, Mr. Knight. I shan't let you miss another one. We're starting in the main square, and I won't take no for an answer. The tour will finish up at the town hall, where the mayor's most graciously agreed to show us round. 5 minutes, Mr. Knight. Don't forget, or I'll be very upset.
Laughing gaily, the address book bustled off, leaving the chess piece behind. As soon as she'd disappeared, the chess piece started to hop off in the other direction, going so fast that Jack and the Christmas pig had to run to catch up.
Excuse me,
said Jack.
Yes?
Panted the chess piece, coming to a halt. His top part was shaped like a horse's head.
Have you seen the toy pig?
Asked Jack.
He's about the same size as this pig, but he's greyish. His ears are wonky and his eyes are buttons.
No, haven't seen any pig like that. You don't get a lot of toys in Bother It's Gone,
said the chess piece.
Now, excuse me, please. I'm trying not to get roped into another one of Addie's tours.
With these words, he gave a little whinny and hopped off again, disappearing into one of the snow-topped chalets and slamming the door behind him. Chapter 26. Addie the Address Book. Jack was very disappointed to hear that there weren't many toys in Bother It's Gone. Where could DP have been sent then? But before he and the Christmas pig could discuss it, a loud whistle made them both jump. Jack was scared the whistle was some kind of alarm to tell the citizens of Bother It's Gone that something was there that shouldn't be. However, the whistle was followed by the unmistakable sound of a steam train approaching.
Interesting,
said the Christmas pig, wrinkling up his snout.
Where's the train come from? Let's go and have a look.
Jack and the Christmas pig hurried off in the direction of the train noises and were just in time to see it arrive in a little station in the middle of town. The train was royal blue and gold, and once it had chugged to a halt in another cloud of steam, the doors opened and several things tumbled out, including a gold wristwatch, a silver cup, and a bronze medal trailing a frayed ribbon.
Look, it's her again,
said the Christmas pig, pointing at Trotter.
That address book.
Sure enough, there she stood, with her rose pattern cover, handwritten pages swishing away the steam from the train. She spoke at the top of her voice as before.
How wonderful to see you all. You're in luck. Just in time for one of Addie's famous walking tours. Such a wonderful way to find out all about Bother It's Gone. Follow me! Follow me, do!
Jack could tell the new things thought they had to do as Addie said, even though she wasn't wearing a loss adjuster's hat. And so they fell into step behind her.
I think we should follow,
said the Christmas pig,
and try and find out where that train came from. But let's be careful. There's something about that address book I don't like.
So they followed Addie and the things that had just come off the train to a little square, where a further collection of things was waiting for the start of the tour. Jack saw the Pokemon card, Fingers and Lunchy among them, all looking cheerful now that they'd seen what a pretty little town they'd come to live in.
Allow me to introduce myself,
cried Addie, rustling to the front of the crowd.
My full name's Address Book, but you must call me Addie. As a long-standing resident of Bother It's Gone and a close personal friend of the dear mayor, I like to conduct these little tours to help everyone feel at home. Follow me, please, and if you've got any questions, don't hesitate to ask.
She bustled off up a new street, and everyone followed. Jack and the Christmas pig found themselves walking beside the gold watch they'd just seen get off the train.
Just arrived,
asked the watch as he wriggled along.
Yes,
said the Christmas pig.
Didn't see you on the train.
No,
said the Christmas pig.
We were adjusted from disposable.
Ah,
said Watch.
That would explain it.
The wristwatch had words engraved on his back, Jack noticed. To Bob, with love from Betty.
Are you looking at my inscription?
The watch asked Jack.
Yes,
said Jack, hoping it wasn't rude to look at a thing's inscription. Sighed the wristwatch.
Well, Betty and Bob don't love each other anymore. I know that much. The moment they told me I was being adjusted, I thought, they've split up. Solid gold, I am. And Bob was very upset when he first lost me. But something must have changed up there. Bob clearly doesn't miss me as much as he did at first. or they wouldn't have made me move out of...
No talking at the back there!
Cried Addy.
Or you won't get the full benefit of my tour. Now, we're just passing a rather nice chalet, one of the best in town, and it so happens to be mine!
She said with a peal of laughter.
And here to our left, the residence of a rather charming silver-plated bookmark. So important to have well-bred, well-read neighbours. The previous occupant was a grubby old school timetable.
She added with a shudder.
What a dreadful impression it gave newcomers to see him as soon as they arrived. Now, for those of you who've come here straight from Miss Lade...
Addy went on, leading them round a corner.
I should explain that there are two towns in the Land of the Lost, Disposable and Bother It's Gone.
The hands on the watch's face bunched up at these words, giving him a puzzled expression.
No, madam,
he called out to Addy from the back of the crowd.
I think you've been misinformed. Medal, Cup and I were sent here from...
There are only two towns in the Land of the Lost,
cried Addy, coming to a sudden halt and wheeling about to face the crowd, who all stopped so abruptly that some of them bumped into each other, and the silver cup toppled over and had to be helped upright again by a pair of furry mittens.
Two towns,
repeated Addy, glowering around at them all.
One for the good things and one for the bad. Disposable is for worthless objects, ones that are easy to replace, whose loss is barely noticed in the Land of the Living. But Bother It's Gone is for special things. Everything in Bother It's Gone caused our humans a great deal of trouble when we were lost. We are valued. We are important. I, for instance,
continued Addy,
spent 50 whole years in the possession of a lady up there. She wrote the names and addresses and telephone numbers of her family and friends inside me. I was the only place she kept this important information.
Addy flicked her pages, and everyone saw the dense, spidery writing of the old lady.
Imagine the trouble it caused when she lost me!
Instead of looking sad, Addy burst into uncontrollable laughter.
DP definitely isn't here,
whispered Jack to the Christmas pig.
None of this is a place for things that are glad they made their owner sad.
A low voice spoke suddenly in Jack's ear, making him jump.
One thing I must beg of you, dear laddie, please don't judge us all by horrid Addy.
Jack looked round. A grubby sheet of paper with eyes and a mouth doodled at the top had joined the walking tour. As they all set off again, Jack asked the paper,
Who are you?
My name is Poem. See my scribbled lines?
She unfurled slightly to show them the words scrawled across her.
And as I'm verse, I only speak in rhymes.
Oh,
said Jack.
Have you just arrived here too?
No, I've been here ages. But today I thought I'd join the walking tour. I'll pay a price for joining in, because you see, there's nobody old Addy hates like me.
Why does she hate you?
Asked Jack.
Because she's very mean and underhand, and I'm not scared to say so, so I'm banned.
Sure enough, at that very moment, Addy, who'd just stopped outside a building with a little clock tower and double doors of polished wood, turned to talk to the crowd again and at once spotted Poem lurking at the back.
Poem!
She cried.
Run along now, dear. The mayor told you you're not allowed on my walking tours anymore.
Oh, sorry to intrude. That slipped my mind,
said Poem, grinning at Jack.
Goodbye, dear truthful Addy. You're so kind.
Poem drifted away. Addy hitched her wide smile back onto her flowery face and said,
A little tip for newcomers. You should avoid Poem. She's mad, quite mad. And she lives with somebody even madder. I've been trying to get them both adjusted to Disposable, but no luck so far. Now, I'm going to knock on the town hall's door, and if we're very lucky, the dear mayor will show us...
But before Addy could knock, a square cheese grater came bursting out of the double doors, almost knocking Addy over. He was wearing a smart black tricorn mayor's hat, and behind him came an assortment of loss adjusters who looked slightly different to the usual kind. All wore black balaclavas with the usual L badge on the forehead. Even though most of their faces were concealed, it was still easy to see what kind of things they were. One was a magnifying glass, another was a net, and the third was an enormous hobnailed boot.
Oh no,
whispered the Christmas pig.
It's the capture team.
Trouble!
Roared the mayor, who was brandishing a piece of paper.
The rumours are true. There are things down here that shouldn't be. I've just received a description. A cuddly pig and an action figure. In pajamas.
Chapter 27. Mayor Cheese Grater. The mayor had barely finished saying
pajamas
when the Christmas pig seized Jack's arm and tugged him sideways up an alleyway. There being nowhere else to hide, the Christmas pig snatched the lid off a shiny silver dustbin with the mayor's coat of arms on it, and both he and Jack jumped inside, pulling the lid back over themselves. Jack was so scared, it took him a moment to notice how very clean the empty dustbin was. Apparently, even the insides of bins were regularly polished in Bother It's Gone.
Settle down, settle down,
they heard the mayor shout, because the crowd had begun talking loudly at his announcement. When there was silence again, the mayor said,
Now listen, that pig and action figure are breaking the law, and when the law gets broken, it gives the loser an excuse to break the law back. 10 years ago to this very day, the loser came crashing into Bother It's Gone, kicking in the fronts of houses and lifting off roofs, and it's not going to happen again, not on my watch.
Why did he come here last time?
Said a terrified voice that Jack recognised as Lunchy's.
Because the last mayor broke the law,
shouted the cheese grater.
Mayor Pinkinshears was her name. She felt sorry for Surplus, so she let some of it sneak off the wastes to hide in our attics. The loser got wind of what she was up to, and he ran into town, smashing apart houses. He scooped up all the surplus and ate it, and gobbled up a few things that had done nothing wrong as well. And last of all, he grabbed Pinkinshears and took her off to his lair, screaming as she went. And she's never been seen again. That's when I became mayor,
roared the cheese grater.
And from that moment on, the law's been kept. Once a week, the loss adjusters and I conduct a thorough search of this town to make sure there's no thing here that shouldn't be. Right. Everyone go straight home and no loitering. Addy will tell newcomers where their houses are. You're to stay indoors until I give the all clear.
Jack and the Christmas pig remained squashed up in the bin, which was a very tight fit, listening to the crowd dispersing.
What if the gold watch tells him he saw us?
Whispered Jack.
Or the poem. Or Lunchy.
Then we'll be in deep trouble,
the Christmas pig whispered back.
But they all seemed like good things. Hopefully they won't tell.
After a few minutes, the tramp of things heading home had faded away. Now all that remained were the voices of the mayor and the capture team.
They wouldn't be stupid enough to come right into the centre of town,
said the mayor confidently.
I suggest we spread out and work from the outside in.
The capture team agreed, and they heard them moving away, calling to other loss adjusters to come and help search. The loudest noise of all came from the hobnailed boot, which made a menacing metal clunk with every step it took.
That boot's name's Crusher,
the Christmas pig whispered in Jack's ear.
One of your socks told me about him. He's a favourite of the losers. Crusher's allowed to stamp all over things if he catches them. After that, even if they're found, they're too broken to be of any use.
Jack slightly wished the Christmas pig hadn't told him this.
Did you hear what that watch started saying before Addy stopped him?
The Christmas pig went on.
Yes,
said Jack.
He came from a third town.
Which makes sense,
said the Christmas pig.
Because
there were three doors in Miss Lade.
Exactly,
said the Christmas pig.
So DP must be in the last town,
said Jack.
Yes, he must,
said the Christmas pig.
You know, I think our best hope is to try and sneak onto that train and hide and let it take us to the other town. But we'll wait until dark. We've got no chance if we get out now.
And so they waited for nightfall. At last, when they thought it was dark enough, they tried to get out of the bin, but somehow they'd become wedged in together. After a lot of wriggling, Jack managed to clamber out, and then he had to tug quite hard on the Christmas pig's trotters until he came free, and they both toppled over onto a pile of snow, the Christmas pig on top of Jack.
Thank you,
panted the Christmas pig.
Sorry about that. My beans had settled.
It's okay,
said Jack, who was now both chilly and wet again. He got up, brushed himself down, and they crept off in the direction of the station, making sure to keep to the shadows. They'd only gone a short distance when the mayor's voice came booming suddenly over loudspeakers on every corner.
Attention all things! Attention all things! We believe the surplus pig and action figure have moved into the centre of town under cover of darkness. Bolt your doors, shutter your windows. Anybody helping the surplus will be given to the loser.
Everywhere Jack and the Christmas pig looked, the jewel bright patches of light from the curtained windows were blacked out, and they heard the clicks of hundreds of bolts being driven home. When Mayor Cheesegrater had repeated his warning a second time, a ringing silence fell over the town of Bother It's Gone. The things that lived there seemed suddenly too scared even to talk inside their own houses. Jack's breath made a cloud of mist in the icy air as they stole ever closer to the station. Shivering, he realised he'd left his blanket behind in the mayor's bin. But all he cared about now was getting out of Bother It's Gone, which no longer felt a friendly, cosy place at all. The station was in sight, just across the road, when they heard a rough voice up ahead. The Christmas pig pulled Jack into a dark doorway, and Jack held his breath so the mist wouldn't give them away.
You four, follow Spyglass to the western section. You lot, go with Net and search the east. The rest of you, follow me.
Jack heard the loss adjuster setting off in different directions, and again, the loudest noise of all was the stomping of the gigantic hobnail boot called Crusher. When at last the sounds had died away once more, Jack and the Christmas pig crept out of their hiding place and headed into the station. But all Jack's hopes were dashed. The toy train had gone.
Oh no! Now what?
Jack whispered through his chattering teeth.
No,
said a low, menacing voice right behind them.
It's crushing time.
Chapter 28, Crusher. Jack and the Christmas pig whirled around, and at once Jack realised that Crusher, the hobnail boot, had tricked them. He'd stamped on the spot to make them think he'd gone away. The boot came hopping nearer, and he was soon so close that Jack could see how two of his shoelace holes had become cruel little eyes as the nails in his soul glinted in the moonlight. Jack thought suddenly of Mum. If he was stamped on and broken by Crusher, he'd never see her again. Without realising what he was doing, Jack reached out and grabbed the Christmas pig's trotter.
Wait!
The Christmas pig begged Crusher, gripping Jack's hand in return.
What for?
Sneered the boot, hopping nearer.
For the thing that's about to happen,
said the Christmas pig.
What thing?
Growled Crusher.
The thing,
said the Christmas pig.
That will change everything. You won't want to miss it. Wait, just wait.
And then, to Jack's utter amazement, a shaft of golden light suddenly fell from the dark sky above, so that Crusher stood in a spotlight. The boot froze, then tried to escape the light, but it was no use. The column of gold began dragging him upwards towards the land of the living.
How did you do that?
Jack gasped to the Christmas pig.
I didn't,
said the pig, looking quite as stunned as Jack felt.
But sometimes waiting works.
Crusher's been found!
They heard one of the loss adjusters cry from a neighbouring street.
They're here!
Yelled the boot, struggling furiously to escape the column of light, carrying him higher and higher over the snowy rooftops.
They're here! Right beside them!
But his voice was drowned out by the other loss adjusters who were shouting congratulations at their old friend.
Happy booting, buddy!
Never mind the fond farewells,
shouted the grating voice of the mayor.
Keep searching! We've got surplus to catch!
Jack and the Christmas pig had just started to run up the nearest dark street when a dim light appeared to their left. A door had flown open and an urgent voice said,
"Quickly, come inside. You'll thank me later. We can hide you."
Chapter 29. Poem and Pretense. Without pausing to consider whether it was sensible to obey the voice or not, Jack and the Christmas pig hurtled through the open door, which closed behind them.
"From that dreadful grater,"
finished Poem. The hall of the house was dimly lit. Poem's scribbled lines were barely visible.
"You aren't going to give us to the loser, are you?"
Jack whispered.
"What kind of traitor do you take me for? You needed help, so I opened my door."
"Sorry,"
said Jack.
"I didn't mean..."
"We're very thankful,"
the Christmas pig assured the Poem. Poem smiled.
"No harm done, dears. Suspicion's common sense. Now, come into the parlour."
They followed Poem into a small sitting room.
"Meet Pretense."
Draped in a seat beside the fire was the strangest thing Jack had yet seen in the Land of the Lost. In fact, he couldn't make out whether it was a thing, a person, or a ghost. He had the shape and look of a teenage boy, though shrunk to the size of Jack and the Christmas pig, and you could see right through him. Gold medals hung around his neck, and he had a lipstick kiss on his cheek. He was dressed like a rock star, with a black leather jacket and pointed boots. When he saw Jack and the Christmas pig, this strange thing jumped up and said,
"Hi, my friends at my old school called me Rebel. I've got a girlfriend who lives in another town. She's really pretty. We kiss a lot. These are the medals I've won for karate. I could kill you right now with my bare..."
"Now's not the time, Pretense. Please save your lies,"
said Poem sternly.
"These things are running from the loser's spies."
Pretense scowled.
"You can talk about lying. You're completely made up."
"Great poems tell the truth. Your fibs aren't art,"
said Poem in a dignified voice. Turning to Jack and the Christmas pig, she added,
"He can't help lying, but he's good at heart."
Pretense glowered and kicked the edge of the rug.
"I could kill someone with my bare hands, if I wanted,"
he mumbled sulkily.
"I could."
"Please sit down by the fire, get warm and dry,"
Poem told Jack and the Christmas pig, ignoring her housemate.
"And then we'd like to help, Pretense and I."
"This is very kind of you,"
said the Christmas pig.
"Yes, it is,"
said Jack.
"Thank you."
He took the armchair nearest the fire and stretched out his freezing hands and feet to the flames. Being made of paper, Poem was staying well away from the fire. But Pretense slumped back down in his chair and said,
"Poem told me she met you two on one of Addie's walking tours. I hate that address book. She's an even bigger liar than I am."
"Pretense, you never spoke a truer word,"
said Poem approvingly.
"To hear her talk, you'd think she'd only heard of disposable and bother it's gone. Embarrassing the way she carries on."
"So there is another town, apart from disposable and bother it's gone?"
asked Jack.
"Of course. The one beyond the golden door, which Addie knows, of that you can be sure. But Addie likes to think herself a queen, the most important thing there's ever been. And so she tells herself it can't exist, that wondrous place, the City of the Mist."
Jack and the Christmas pig exchanged excited looks.
"The City of the Mist, did you say?"
asked the Christmas pig.
"That's right. We know it well, Pretense and I. For once, it was our home. I'm going to cry."
Sure enough, a single tear leaked out of Poem's eyes and made an inky trickle down her page.
"Why aren't you still there?"
asked Jack. Poem moved a little closer to the fire and smoothed herself out to show them the many crossings out and corrections all over her body.
"As you can see, I'm just an early draft, imperfect trial of my poet's craft. And when she lost me, oh, her grief and rage, I need it back," she stormed, "that precious page. She swore my loss meant she could write no more, and so they sent me through the golden door and put me on a train of royal blue and treated me with kindness, for they knew how deeply I was missed, but soon that changed. My poet tried again. She rearranged my words, my rhymes, my meter. Finally, she knew she'd made a better poem than me. The loss of justice came and brought me here, where I'll remain forever. For I fear I've now become a curiosity. No longer does my poet cry for me.
As Poem wiped her inky eyes, Pretense sighed and said,
Poem and I have been friends since we met in the City of the Mist. My owner was a teenager. He had to move to a new school, miles away from all his old friends. He felt lonely and frightened of that bully, Kyle Mason. So he made me. He pretended he could do karate and had a girlfriend and a cool nickname back in his old school. But the other teenagers soon saw through me. He didn't want to lose me. He was forced to. Losing me made him feel lost at first. He missed me dreadfully. So I was sent through the golden door in Mislaid, just like Poem. But as time went on, my owner began to miss me less. He slowly realized it was better to tell the truth and have people like him for who he really was. That's when I was adjusted and sent to Bother It's Gone. One day, I dare say, he'll be ashamed he ever had me at all. When that day comes, I'll be shoved out onto the
world. What was that?
Said the Christmas pig, and Pretense fell silent. From a few chalets away came shouts and bangs.
Uh-oh,
said Pretense.
They're searching this street!
Chapter 30. The Tunnel.
We've got to get to the City of the Mist,
said Jack.
Because...
Don't tell us why. It's safer far that way,
said Poem.
The less we know, the less we can betray.
Will the train be back soon?
Asked the Christmas pig.
Not for hours,
said Pretense.
Your best chance is to cross the Wastes of the Unlamented on foot. But that's very dangerous. The loser has his lair in the middle of the Wastes, and he hunts Surplus by night. Of course,
he added, perking up.
If I came with you, I could karate chop him to death.
Not now, Pretense. They're running out of time,
said Poem. Turning to Jack and the Christmas pig again, she said,
You've just one hope. A secret friend of mine. Though some may call her cracked, she's loyal and brave, and many are the things that she's helped save. For I'll confess, now we're all safe inside, you're not the only surplus we've helped hide. Sometimes, from the Wastes, we give things shelter. They need a break from running helter-skelter. We've also, sometimes, helped things run away. It's crazy for a hunted thing to stay and Bother It's Gone with our horrid mare, who rules by fear and doesn't care what's fair. And so I urge you both to trust my friend, for she's a thing on whom you can depend.
When you say your friend's cracked,
began Jack, worried.
A little mad, but you two need a guide. Without her, you've no chance. Many have tried.
Then please,
said the Christmas pig, as the noises of the loss adjusters grew even closer and louder.
Introduce us to your friend.
Poem gestured for Jack and the Christmas pig to follow her. Pretense jumped up too, and came after them into Poem's bedroom.
I could come with you, and I could get my girlfriend to help.
Just shift that rug and open the trap door,
Poem told Pretense sternly.
Then close it once we've gone. You know the score. Do your favourite thing when the doorbell rings. Pretend you've never seen these wanted things.
Pretense opened the trapdoor beneath the rug. Poem dropped into the hole beneath, being so light she couldn't really hurt herself, whereas Jack and the Christmas pig climbed down the ladder inside.
Good luck!
Pretense called after them.
And I do have a girlfriend, and she's much prettier than Kyle Mason's.
The trapdoor banged shut. Jack, the Christmas pig, and Poem set off along a narrow tunnel which ran steeply downwards, leading to the bottom of the mountain they'd climbed earlier on the wooden cart.
Who made this tunnel, Poem?
Asked the Christmas pig.
A solid silver spoon. Or so things say,
said Poem.
It happened long ago, before my day. He thought it quite beneath him, this small town, and so by night he dug and dug straight down. The warnings of his friend, that fool, dismissed. His only goal, the City of the Mist. He never understood it's not your cost that matters in the Kingdom of the Lost, but whether you once touched a human heart and how it hurt them when you had to part.
And did the spoon reach the City of the Mist?
Asked Jack, hopefully.
He reached the Wastes of the Unlamented. Soon his foolish plan, the spoon, repented. A hunting came the loser across the plain. The silver spoon was never seen again.
The threesome continued down the steeply sloping tunnel in silence for a long time, until finally they reached a door in the rock, beside which hung a thick rope.
Now, ring the bell. Old Compass won't be long. She always heeds the summons of my gong.
The Christmas pig pulled the rope, and a tinkling bell sounded on the other side of the door. After a few minutes, they heard something like a metal wheel turning over rock. The Christmas pig opened the door a crack, and Jack heard a hearty voice say,
"More fugitives, eh, Poem? Ha ha!
Please help them cross the wastes, my dear old friend. Without your aid, they risk a gruesome end."
"Course I'll help! Course I will!"
said the merry voice.
"You know how much I loves adventures. Wanting to go to the City of the Mist, I suppose. Most things want to go there. Well, nicest city, innit?"
"We would like to go there, yes,"
said the Christmas pig.
"Well, I can get you to the gates,"
said the voice.
"But I can't get you inside. Will that do?"
"Yes, that's great,"
said Jack. He and the Christmas pig left the dark tunnel and stepped onto the wastes of the Unlamented at the foot of the mountain. The snow was falling thicker than ever. Jack turned back to Poem.
"Thank you, Poem."
She leaned down to whisper a final word in Jack's ear.
"The loser hates the power of Christmas Eve. He swears, once midnight chimes, you'll never leave."
"What?"
said Jack, startled. But Poem had already closed the door. Part 5. The Wastes of the Unlamented. Chapter 31. Compass. Compass, who stood balanced on her brass edge, was only half as tall as Jack and the Christmas pig. Her glass was cracked, and instead of pointing north as it should have done, her pointer was hanging slightly askew. Jack was so worried by what Poem had just whispered that instead of saying hello to her, he turned to the Christmas pig and said,
"Poem says, once it's midnight up there, I'll never be able to leave the land of the lost."
"Yeah, I've heard that rumour too,"
said Compass, before the Christmas pig could answer.
"The loser thinks if he can stop you two being found before midnight, he'll get to keep you forever and ever. I don't know why, because that's not how it usually works. Lost is lost and found is found. Don't matter when any of it happens."
But Jack had an awful feeling he knew why the loser believed this, and he could tell by the expression on the Christmas pig's face that he did too. If Christmas Eve was the one night in the year a living boy could get into the land of the lost, mightn't it also be the only night when a boy could return to the land of the living? But as Jack couldn't say any of this out loud without revealing to Compass that he was human, he kept quiet.
"What are your names then?"
Compass asked, looking from one to the other.
"I'm Christmas Pig,"
said the Christmas Pig.
"And this is Pajama Boy. He's an action figure."
"With the power of sleep and dreams,"
said Jack. Sniffed Compass.
"Well, you won't be getting much of either tonight. Sleeping's asking for trouble. Off we go then."
And without further ado, she rolled off so fast that Jack and the Christmas Pig had to jog to keep up, slipping and sliding over the snowy rubble of the wastes. Jack's bare feet were soon very sore from running over the sharp, icy stones.
"Now, I've got to warn you, there's some very strange things out here on the wastes,"
Compass called back to them.
"Some of them are nearly as bad as the loser himself."
"Really?"
said Jack nervously.
"Oh, yeah. See, nobody cares these things have gone. In fact, some of them were lost on purpose. And I can't blame their owners. Some things really ain't worth keeping."
She came to a sudden halt and turned to look at them, frowning.
"Who's rattling?"
"Oh, that's me,"
said the Christmas pig, who'd been clutching his stomach as usual, trying to stop his beans jumping around.
"I've got beans in my stomach."
"We'll keep him as quiet as possible, won't you?"
"I'll try,"
said the Christmas pig, gripping his tummy even harder. They jogged off again. Compass's metal edge made so much racket rolling over the flinty ground that Jack thought it a bit unfair for her to tell off the Christmas pig for his tummy beans. As though she'd read his mind, Compass called back to them.
"It ain't ideal being made of brass because the loser's got very sharp hearing. But to tell the truth, I quite enjoy the thrill of it when he shows up." Don't worry, though,
she added, seeing Jack's frightened glance at the Christmas pig.
Nobody's ever been eaten while they've been with me. I love cheating the loser out of captures. He hates me, you know.
How are you lost, Compass?
Panted the Christmas pig.
Dropped by a backpacker,
said Compass cheerfully.
As a matter of fact, that was the second time he'd dropped me. The first time he cracked my glass and knocked my needle off its pivot. And I didn't work very well after that, so when he lost me again in a jungle, he didn't even bother looking for me. Now I'm rusting away at the foot of a banana tree, and I doubt I'll ever be found. Who'd want a broken compass?
But do you know the way to the City of the Mist?
Panted Jack. He already had a stitch in his side because he was running so fast.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that,
said Compass airily.
Although we might zigzag a bit to keep life interesting. Anyway, I've found new ways of guiding things since I arrived on the Wastes. Can you guess what they are?
No,
said the Christmas pig, who was hurrying along as fast as his lower trotters could carry him.
I make up stories with morals and I invent mottos. Would you like to hear one of my mottos?
Yes, please,
panted Jack, because he could tell that was what Compass wanted him to say.
Nor-nor-west is all very well, but only the wise go sideways,
said Compass proudly. Jack didn't understand this at all, so he was glad when the Christmas pig said,
Very true.
It is, isn't it?
Said Compass, sounding pleased.
And I can tell you a story with a moral, if you'd like.
Oh, yes, please,
said the Christmas pig breathlessly.
There were once three compasses,
said Compass.
A big one, a medium-sized one, and a tiny one. The big one led the way up a mountain, and the medium-sized one steered a boat across the sea. But the tiny one got dropped in a vegetable patch. And the moral of that is, never make friends with a radish.
Jack and the Christmas pig both made interested and impressed noises, which seemed to please Compass, and on they ran over snowy rock and loose stones, and the stitch in Jack's side hurt more than ever. They struggled on through the chilly darkness for what felt like hours. Every so often, Jack or the Christmas pig would stumble, and the other would help him up again. Their sleep inside Lunchbox seemed a very long time ago, but Jack was too frightened to be tired. Every now and then, he'd see shapes looming up in the darkness and worry that they were the loser or some of the strange things Compass had warned them about. But when they got closer, it was always clumps of thistles.
Where's your blanket?
Said the Christmas pig, noticing Jack shivering in his pyjamas.
I left it in the bin by mistake,
panted Jack.
I'm fine.
If only they could get safely across the Wastes without being eaten by the loser, they'd find DP. The thought of hugging Der Pig's familiar squishy body and breathing in his friendly smell kept Jack running, in spite of the cold and his sore feet. Then, a horrible moan came echoing across the Wastes.
Was that the loser?
Gasped Jack in panic.
Is he coming? Shall we hide?
No,
said Compass, still bowling along.
That's a pain.
A what?
Said Jack.
A pain,
repeated Compass.
An human pain. Of course their owners are delighted to get rid of pains, so they end up here on the Wastes, roaming around in packs and howling. I feel quite sorry for them, really. It can't be much fun being a...
Compass rolled to a sudden halt again. Two dark shapes had appeared ahead of them, blocking their path. Chapter 32, The Broken Angel. The outlines of the shapes looked like a mother and a child to Jack, but he didn't trust his senses anymore, and he drew close to the Christmas pig.
Who goes there?
Shouted Compass.
Who are you?
Called a frightened lady's voice. Out of the darkness walked a Christmas angel. One of her wings was badly bent, her plum and gold dress was torn, and she was hiding her face behind her left hand. The little blue bunny they'd watched being forced down the chute and mislaid was leading her along. He was as filthy as ever, his fur clogged with earth.
Why are you hiding your face?
Compass asked the angel suspiciously.
Because you'll run away if I show you,
said the angel.
Everything I've shown has fled, except for Blue Bunny.
This is no time for concealment,
said Compass sternly.
How do I know you're not one of the loser spies?
The angel lowered her hand. Her head was cracked, her face broken. One of her eyes was missing. There was a great puncture hole in her cheek. When she heard Jack gasp, a tear leaked from her remaining eye. She covered her face again and began to cry.
I know I'm ugly,
she sobbed.
A dog got me.
But Jack hadn't gasped because he didn't like her face. He'd gasped because he'd just recognised her. That purple and gold dress, those chipped curls, those glittery plastic wings. This was their Christmas angel, the one Gran had chosen and which Toby the dog had eaten. What Jack couldn't understand was why she was down here in the land of the lost if Toby the dog had destroyed her.
Being broken's not reason enough to get sent to the wastes,
said Compass, sounding even more suspicious.
There's plenty of chipped and cracked things who are so precious their owners won't let them out of their sight.
I was never precious to the family at all,
said Broken Angel, trying to stem her tears.
I was bought to replace an angel they loved, bought in a hurry, because the shops were crowded. The family didn't like me. Even when they bought me, I could tell.
Jack felt horribly guilty. At least the angel had her hand back over her remaining eye, so she couldn't recognise him.
They put me on the top of the tree, but none of the other decorations were friendly,
she sobbed.
They were all mourning the loss of the old angel who's their friend and their leader and their...
The dog went over the tree,
said Jack, without thinking.
Yes!
Gasped Broken Angel in surprise.
How did you know?
I guessed,
said Jack, quickly.
The tree fell and so did I. I got tangled in the branches. The dog tried to drag me out. But I was stuck, so he chewed as much of me as he could reach. When the family found the tree knocked down and saw bits of my dress and my face on the floor, they thought the dog had eaten me, like the old angel. They didn't notice me hanging upside down at the back. They stood the tree up again, and there I am, lost among the branches, out of sight. Nobody misses me. Nobody cares,
said the angel, starting to weep again.
When they come to throw out the tree, they'll throw me out.
The Christmas pig stepped forward and put a trotter on the angel's shoulder, while the little bunny sadly stroked her remaining hand.
I'm a replacement too,
the Christmas pig told her.
It might yet be all right. They might find you and fix you.
We need to get moving,
said Compass, before the weeping angel could respond.
Tag along if you like,
she added to the angel and the blue bunny.
There's safety in numbers, but you'll need to keep up.
Chapter 33. The Story of the Blue Bunny. And so they ran on. After a while, Jack noticed that the little blue bunny, hopping along beside him, was gazing up at him in admiration.
I'm very sorry to stare,
said Blue Bunny timidly.
But you're so new and detailed. You must have been expensive. I haven't seen anything as fine as you on the wastes.
The blue bunny was a badly made little toy, with lopsided eyes and arms sewn on at odd angles.
What are you, if it's not a rude question?
Asked the toy now.
An action figure,
said Jack.
Pajama boy, with the power of sleep and dreams. I've got my own cartoon,
he added, because the Christmas pig was now talking to Broken Angel so couldn't hear.
How wonderful,
sighed Blue Bunny, his dark eyes shining.
But why are you on the wastes? Surely your owner's looking for you everywhere.
He's very spoiled,
said Jack, repeating what the Christmas pig had told Specs.
He's got lots of toys. He hardly noticed he lost us.
That's awful,
said the little bunny sadly.
I never thought a toy like you would be so badly treated. The likes of me don't expect much. But you're different. Your own cartoon. You're famous.
Didn't your owner like you?
Asked Jack, because he didn't want more questions about his cartoon. He couldn't really think of any adventures that involved sleeping.
No,
sighed Blue Bunny.
He won me in a raffle at the fair. Every ticket won a prize. My owner wanted the football, but he got me instead. He groaned when they handed me to him, then stuffed me in his pocket and took me home. He never played with me. I lay on a shelf until one day one of his friends visited. The friend threw me out of the open window into a flower bed as a joke.
The bunny's voice broke.
Nobody looked for me. Nobody cared. I lay in the flower bed for weeks. It rained. It was so cold, so wet. But I had no choice but to lie in the mud and wait.
I don't understand,
said Jack.
I was stuck between two worlds, you see,
said Blue Bunny.
It happens sometimes, if it isn't clear whether you've been thrown away or lost. I was stuck, belonging nowhere, frozen and dirty and waiting for my owner to remember me. If he believed me thrown away, I'd cease to exist. If he thought me lost, I would descend to the land of the lost. On Christmas Eve,
Blue Bunny went on,
the boy was packing a cuddly toy to take to his grandparents' house, and suddenly he remembered that I was lost. But he didn't care or think of looking for me. At that moment, my fate was sealed. I fell straight down here, and the loss adjusters seized me. They shoved me down the chute that comes out in the middle of the wastes. I was alone and very frightened. But after a while, I met Broken Angel. We've been wandering the wastes together ever since. It's been nice to have somebody who understands how I feel. That might sound silly to a thing like you.
No, it doesn't,
said Jack.
I had a friend who always understood me. But then I lost him and it ruined everything.
The Christmas pig glanced back at Jack, an odd expression on his face. Afraid the Christmas pig was about to tell him off for talking about DP, he changed the subject.
Perhaps you'll be found by somebody else,
Jack told the Blue Bunny. Through the swirling snow, he could see patches of darkness where no stars shone, which he was sure were openings onto the land of the living.
No, I won't,
sighed Blue Bunny.
My body's still in the garden, covered in mud, barely visible. The family's gone away for Christmas. There's nobody to find me now. I belong to the loser. But Broken Angel and I have agreed to face the end together. And that's some comfort.
Jack felt very sorry and wished he could take the little Blue Bunny home to his own bedroom. But he was starting to learn the laws of the land of the lost and was sure this wouldn't be allowed. Then, before anyone could say another word, noises exploded out of the darkness around them.
Danger!
Yelled Compass, rolling back to them.
Stick together and brace yourselves! It's the Bad Abbot Gang!
Chapter 34. The Bad Habits. Compass, Jack, the Christmas Pig, Broken Angel and Blue Bunny drew close together, back to back, as a swarm of dark shadows and fiery red dots began to circle them. Voices cackled, and there was suddenly a nasty smell of smoke in the air.
What are they?
Asked Jack, very frightened. There seemed to be quite a number of the things. The fiery red dots looked like eyes, and he could hear cackling and growling.
I told you! Bad habits!
Said Compass.
Watch out, because they often throw...
Splat! An enormous slimy something hit her.
What's that?
Squealed Blue Bunny.
It's a bogey!
Said Compass furiously, scraping it off herself as she rolled on the spot.
I know that was you, Picker!
The things surrounding them howled with laughter, and several more giant bogeys came flying through the air, while Jack and the others tried to dodge them. Splat, 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 came the bogeys. Then something hard and sharp hit Jack in the face, and he yelped in pain.
What happened?
Asked the Christmas pig.
They threw something pointy at me,
said Jack, looking down at the sharp yellow object shaped like a boomerang.
What is that?
A bit of Chewfinger's nail,
said Compass.
Will you stop it?
she shouted at the jeering gang surrounding them.
Or the loser will hear us and we'll all be eaten!
That you, Compass?
Said a raucous voice.
Who are you smuggling this time?
The things around them now drew closer. Jack half wished they'd remained hidden. They were even odder than pretense and a lot scarier. They all seemed to be bits of humans. Some were mouths, one was loudly chewing gum, and others smoking stinking cigarettes, which made the glowing red dots and a nasty smell. There were noses, ears, a single finger, its nail chewed to a bloody stub, several oozing spots, which were so disgusting Jack could barely look at them, and a couple of fists, which were pounding the ground in a menacing fashion, as though they couldn't wait to start hitting someone.
Still here, sugar guzzler,
Compass said to the biggest of the mouths.
You swore you'd be home for Christmas. Your owner didn't want you back then.
Give him time,
said the mouth, revealing blackened stumps of teeth.
There'll be chocolate and sweeties all around him now. He's about to crack and start scoffing again.
Hang on a minute,
said a strangely familiar voice just behind Jack.
Don't I know you two?
Jack's heart leapt. Even though he was furious at her, even though she'd thrown DP out of the car window, he'd never been so glad to hear that voice in his life. She belonged to home and the land of the living, and in that moment all Jack could remember was how kind she'd once been when he felt very small and lost.
Holly!
He cried, spinning round. But Holly was nowhere to be seen. Instead, he found himself facing a fist as big as he was.
This is strange,
said the fist in Holly's voice.
What is, bully boss?
Asked a giant ear in a sly voice. It slid closer.
I love hearing strange things.
I'm down here because I chucked a toy pig like him out of a car window,
said Bully Boss in Holly's voice.
And you look a bit familiar too.
He's an action figure,
said the Christmas pig quickly.
Pajama boy with the power of sleep and dreams.
He's got his own cartoon,
piped up Blue Bunny. The bad habits jeered.
I'll bet it's rubbish,
said Sugar Guzzler.
No wonder they don't care he's lost,
sneered Picked Zit.
Fine talk from you,
said the Christmas pig.
Your owners were glad to get rid of you.
My owner will be back for me any moment,
growled Bully Boss.
I'm her mate, I am. She needs me.
Why does she need you?
Asked Jack.
Because, stupid,
said Bully Boss.
I make her feel better. Her mum wants her to get to the Olympics. Trouble is, Holly doesn't like gymnastics anymore. She wants to do music instead. She thinks her dad might understand, but he's been stolen by her new stepbrother. Well, I make that stepbrother pay. See? He's got everything. He has a nice mum and Holly's dad, and nobody making him win medals and telling him off if he doesn't. He deserves punishing. That's why I threw his stupid toy pig out of the car window.
Jack was amazed. He'd never imagined Holly thought he was lucky.
Only Holly feels really guilty now. She got rid of me and swore she'd never bully the boy again. But she will.
Course she will, course she will,
said the ear in its nasty, sly voice.
My owner's just the same. She was caught reading her sister's diary and vowed she'd never sneak around and eavesdrop ever again. But how else is she going to find out secrets?
Secrets are fun. Secrets are my favourite thing.
Who wants to hear a good secret I heard today when I was sneaking around on the outskirts of Bother It's Gone?
All the bad habits clamoured to hear the secret.
I was sitting in a bush on the edge of the wastes,
said the ear.
It's a good place to hear things, because the Loss Adjusters patrol there to make sure no surplus tries to sneak off the weights and up the mountain.
Get on with it,
snarled Bully Boss.
Well, they were talking about a couple of things that are on the run,
said Sneaky.
Things that shouldn't be down here in the Land of the Lost at all. And you know what those things are?
What?
What?
Asked several of the mouths.
A cuddly pig and an action figure,
said the ear.
Exactly like...
But at that moment, a gigantic boom echoed across the wastes. The ground shuddered and all the bad habits screamed.
The hunt's afoot!
Shouted Compass gleefully.
It's a loser! You four, stay with me! Now, run!
Chapter 35. The Loser. Compass rolled off very fast, and the bad habits scattered, shrieking into the darkness, as did Broken Angel and Blue Bunny. But for a few moments, Jack was so terrified he couldn't move at all. Two gigantic white searchlights were moving through the sky above the wastes. Their twin beams swept the ground, illuminating the many scurrying things that were running pell-mell away from the loser. The searchlights were his eyes, and they swung over the snowy wastes as the loser turned his giant head this way and that. He was so tall that Jack could actually hear the top of his head scraping on the high wooden sky as his blinding eyes scanned the ground for things to eat. It was hard to tell whether he was a giant man or a robot. He didn't walk on feet, but on steel points like a two-legged spider. His body, his arms and his legs were all covered in millions and millions of broken things, so that he glistened all over with cogs, springs, handles, aerials, buttons, lids, and other bits of the bodies he'd torn to pieces before eating. The loser let out a terrible cry that shook the ground and made the boulders tremble. It was a howl of fury, but also of anguish, as though he'd lost something he loved and would never, ever get back. And then he swooped. An enormous hand with fingers like steel girders swished across the wastes, scooping up fleeing things. Jack heard their screams as the loser pulled them up into the air and examined them by the light of his pitiless eyes.
Jack! Move!
Shouted the Christmas pig, seizing Jack's hand and tugging as the loser stooped again. The giant steel fingers flew past once more, coming so close to where Jack was standing that he saw the jagged fingertips encrusted with glass and steel. Jack let the Christmas pig pull him along, but his legs felt numb with terror, and he kept tripping. The beams from the loser's eyes were darting and flashing all around them, so that Jack became sick and dizzy and lost all sense of direction. At any moment, he was sure he'd feel the giant metal hand of the loser closing around him and yanking him up into the air.
Where's Compass?
He cried as the Christmas pig pulled him on.
I don't know!
Shouted the Christmas pig.
Just run! We've got to find somewhere to hide!
The loser screamed again, and the spotlight of his eyes slid past them, grazing Jack's elbow. Jack heard Holly's voice somewhere out in the darkness.
Please no! Please no!
Jack, come on!
Shouted the Christmas pig, because Jack had stopped running and was trying to pull free of his grip.
Holly!
Said Jack.
He's got Holly!
It isn't Holly! You know it isn't Holly!
Said the Christmas pig, dragging Jack onwards with both trotters.
It was Holly's bad habit, and you should be glad it's gone!
But Jack hated hearing Holly's voice so desperate and scared, and was only distracted when he spotted Broken Angel up ahead, running for her life, but stumbling over her torn dress and unable to see properly through her only remaining eye.
Take my free hand!
Jack called to her.
Oh, thank you!
She cried. But as she stretched her unbroken arm towards him, the beams from the loser's eyes found her. The Broken Angel tripped, and the loser pounced. His huge glittering fist seized her, and she was lifted up into the air.
There's nothing we can do,
said the Christmas pig fiercely, as Jack tried to pull him backwards.
Run, Jack, run! Or it'll be us next!
Chapter 36. Thistles.
Lie flat,
said the Christmas pig, pulling Jack behind a large clump of thistles so they were hidden in shadow. Huddled together on the snowy ground, they peered through the spiky leaves. The loser's arms were now full of things, and he was striding away from them, the ground shaking as he went.
The angel! The poor angel!
Gasped Jack through numb lips. If only he'd been faster at grabbing her hand, she might not have been taken.
What happened to them? What does he do to them? Perhaps we can rescue them.
We can't, said the Christmas pig quietly. He's taking them to his lair. That's where he tears them to pieces and sucks out the enlivened part. Then, if he likes their bodies, he makes them part of his armor.
But what if they were found now, up there?
Said Jack.
That would save them,
said the Christmas pig.
But nobody's looking, Jack. Nobody cares that they're lost. They're even glad to be rid of them. What human would want a Christmas angel that badly broken? Who'd want a nasty nose-picking habit?
But after the loser sucks out the enlivened part and breaks up their body and makes it part of his body, what happens to the thing up there?
Asked Jack.
The angel's still tangled in the tree, isn't she?
Not for long,
said the Christmas pig.
Once the loser has sucked out her enlivened part, she'll vanish up there. There's no going back for a thing that's eaten by the loser. You're gone forever. It's what humans call death.
Jack was so cold, tired and scared. He wanted DP so badly and he felt so guilty about the angel, he couldn't keep back the tears any longer. He broke down. He tried not to make any noise, but he hadn't fooled the Christmas pig, who put his trotters around Jack and pulled him close.
We'll freeze unless we hug,
said the pig gruffly.
We'll stay here. Maybe get a few hours' sleep, and then, when it's light, we'll try and find a way to the City of the Mist.
But how will we find our way without compass?
Asked Jack.
I don't know yet,
admitted the Christmas pig.
But we'll think of something.
So Jack curled up beside the Christmas pig, who cuddled him, and slowly Jack began to warm up. He was still scared and miserable, but at least he was warmer.
Thanks, Christmas pig,
he said after a while.
You're welcome,
said the Christmas pig, sounding surprised. After a short silence, Jack said,
It's a stupid name.
What is?
Asked the Christmas pig.
The Christmas pig,
said Jack.
It's too long. I wouldn't have called you that if I kept you. It isn't an everyday name.
What would you have called me then?
Asked the Christmas pig. Jack thought for a while.
Maybe CP,
he said.
Which stands for Christmas pig.
CP,
said the Christmas pig.
I like that.
I could ask Holly to call you that if you like,
said Jack, yawning.
What do you mean?
Said the